It's always great to play with Bill. I've only been doing it for 36 years, and so, you know. Have him back in the saddle again. Well, I was praying. Go to the book of Romans. Get your Bibles out. Go to the book of Romans chapter 4. You know, I had a person accuse me one time that I only ever preached what God was speaking to me. And I said, well, I don't really understand that, because they were saying, well, you don't give the whole counsel of God's word because you only preach what God's speaking to you. And I said, well, I don't, you know, understand that, but whatever. I said, you're entitled to your opinion. And it is the truth. For 22 years, I've just preached what God speaks to me, and I share it with y'all. Basically, it's one big family, one big share group. I preach to y'all just like I preach to my wife, you know. And so I realized that, you know, because we all go through different phases in life and different places in life, and the days of joy and the days of trouble, the days of, you know, whatever, you know, just days. And so I don't know about y'all, but I just tell you where I'm at. In this message that I preached two Sundays ago on things people to be thinking about, you know, and you get your thoughts thinking about and thinking about the blood of Jesus and what the blood of Jesus has done for us, I want to tell y'all something. That revelation is changing my whole thinking. It's changing me as your pastor. It's changing me. It's new boldness in my prayer life, new boldness in my walk with Jesus, new boldness in when a problem arises, it doesn't seem that big anymore. You know what I'm saying? So I want to share something else with y'all tonight along those topics and along those lines, because, you know, I want you to get what I'm getting. And maybe you already got it. You're just looking back and saying, well, Pastor, I'm glad you're finally catching up with me. You know, maybe you're already there. I don't know. But I just know that right now, you know, it's so easy to go and listen to the radio or listen to the news and, you know, or read anything going on in the world today. And man, I'm telling you what, if the world doesn't just portray to you that we're going to blow up, burn up, fry, you know, whatever, if the weather's not going to kill us, and if you notice that everything is blown out of proportion. And it seems like we're in this time where the enemy is just like, really? I get this image in my mind. Years ago, we were in Mexico. And it was the early days of the church here. And we'd gone down on this mission trip and to help put on a roof. And it was this real remote area. And we went with this missionary. We didn't know him real well at the time. And we all were kind of a little leery if this guy was really, you know, all right. And he took us out. And, you know, I mean, we just went forever in this van up into the mountains. And we just kept getting farther and farther away from civilization, you know. And then we put us out. And it was just, you know, nothing but little thatch huts around there. And anyway, so he wanted us, he just said, I'll just go door to door and pass out these tracts, you know, and witness to the people. And I'm kind of like, well, this kind of reminds me of home, you know. And I'm a little leery about anybody coming up and knocking on my door, much less me going up and knocking on somebody else's door out in the middle of the woods. And so anyway, make a long story short, I rounded this corner and old Chucky Feller was with me. And I rounded this corner and in the yard was this turkey, just a turkey. It seemed harmless. And this was like a Mexican trained attack turkey. They didn't need a dog. They had this turkey. And as we began to walk up, this thing bows up, you know, sticks out his chest and drops his feathers to the ground, you know, and just starts stirring up the dust, you know, and he just starts coming at us. And I'm like, now, I've never in my life been scared of a turkey, but this thing is, you know, bringing a little bit of fear to my heart. I mean, I think I can drop kick this thing, but I mean, you know. This sucker is vicious. I said, I kept laughing. Chucky said, he's okay as long as he stays on the ground. And I was like, yeah, that's right. They can fly, you know. And so, but that's what I feel like the enemy's doing right now. he's like a turkey. You're really like, what are you doing? You know, you're not really scared of him, but he's making a big dust and really making a big fuss and a fluff. And, you know, I mean, my gosh, don't even know what bathroom to go in anymore. I mean, you know, and that's an agenda. That's an agenda on our presidential. I mean, we got children dying in the streets and they're all fighting about who's going to use what bathroom. I'm just like, man, just ignorance is run amok. But anyway, I'm losing my train of thought now. Okay, so in all of the fluff and in all of the stuff that's going on, because of this revelation, because of what I'm seeing about the blood of Jesus and our right standing with God, it's just real easy for me to just say, Father, I just right now just thank you in Jesus' name, to just go right to the throne. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10 that we're to go, I mean, Hebrews 4, to go boldly into the throne, right? Is where we're supposed to go, boldly to the throne, to have confidence. And I guess maybe in the back of my own mind, there's a little bit of religiousness still talks to me, because I did learn a little something that I shouldn't have learned. You know, a little bit of something saying, well, Robert, you know, I mean, you really think God is going to, I mean, you know, it's back there. We even when I don't think it is, and even though I know the word doesn't say it is, but yet there's a little bit of something just trying to hurt my confidence at the throne. You with me? And it never has. It's just kind of like, oh, shut up. But I had to deal with it. And now that I've been dwelling on this message about the blood and this message about going boldly into the throne because of the blood of Jesus and what it does for us and what happens to us and how the Father looks at us because of the blood. And as I keep dwelling on it, the more I keep reading, the more I keep seeing, the more it keeps jumping out. And Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, everything, it just keeps coming out, and I just keep seeing it and keep seeing it. And I'm like, wow, this is really cool, because I'm not hearing that voice anymore. You know, I like had freedom prayer. Had freedom prayer deliverance just in my revelational thoughts of going on, because it's the little yakker's not there. That wants to yak at you, you know. He's not there. Because it's like all of a sudden he realizes he's lost, that I'm too far gone. I've already fallen off into the ditch, and I'm already down into the water, and there's no sense in messing with him because it's just too much. And it's been really interesting, because it's like, because of this and because of dwelling on this and keep meditating on it, thinking about it, it's like the voice of the Father is even louder. And in anything, just coming into town, I was asking the Lord, because I got a complicated board I've got to cut, and I asked him how to do it, and he told me how to do it before I got here. So, I mean, you say, well, what does that matter? Yeah, that wouldn't, you know, you say, well, why don't you get something better than that to come to church and preach? No, it's just common. He just wants to talk to us. You know what I'm saying? He just whatever it is, whatever you're dealing with, that's the relationship we're supposed to have. So look here in Romans 4. And I think this is where I want to be. Okay, let's just start reading verse 13. For the promise that he would be an heir to the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith, through the right standing. This change the word righteousness to right standing, the right standing of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Now you got to understand how hard it must have been for a Jewish person who had studied the law and looked at the law and had that drilled in them all their life, to now all of a sudden say, everything you've learned, everything you've studied, everything that you thought, it's wrong. We're doing it a different way now. Now all you have to do is believe in Jesus. That was earth-shattering. I mean, all the women who had been taught by their mothers how to cook according to the law, all of a sudden it didn't apply anymore. Their traditions, everything, it's got to have been earth-shattering for them. And so here Paul's trying to tell them, he says, look, it's not, the law's gone, it's of faith. Verse 16, therefore it is not of faith if it is Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed, who believes God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things that do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believe that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. He was fully convinced of it. He wasn't James 1, tossed by the waves of the sea. He wasn't one day on fire, the next day doubting God and saying, is it really so? Now, let's back up. Was Abraham always a man who was not wavering in his faith? Right? I mean, he created another son, got him another woman, got Hagar that could, you know, have a child and start another. So he wasn't always a great man of faith. Matter of fact, the last time he was talking to God, he told him, he said, look, just let Eliezer here be my son. Right? I mean, he's trying everything in the world. He had an Eliezer, he had an Ishmael, he had all these things going on that he was trying to make happen by his works, his ability, his strength, the way he could see it done. Right? Doesn't that sound like us sometimes in our prayer life? We're trying to get God to do things the way we want him to do it. So we spend all of our time focused in prayer trying to get him to do that situation. Right? When really we're missing God, because what we really need to do is have that relationship with the Father that we hear from heaven what we need to be praying so that then we can move forward, or what the plan is of God, or what needs to take place, or what really needs to happen. But you see, people don't want that because it's more difficult. That's the bottom line, church. It's more difficult. People right now, they're not hungry for God. I keep seeing people in the world that I know, you know, not church people, but people that I know, that just keep getting kicked and just keep getting kicked and just keep getting up and dust themselves off like, oh, well, maybe tomorrow will be better. And I'm like, man, I guess thank God that I'm the kind of person, me, that I'm the kind of person that would just, I give up and quit and say, help me, Jesus, I got to do something. I got to change my ways. I don't want any more of this. Are you with me? I never, even when I was lost, I never wanted to fight with my wife. I just didn't like a house that there was tension in. I wanted to make up. Let's get it over with. What did I do wrong? Holy cow, I don't want to live like this. Do something. What do I need to do? I would always give up. I would always give up where she was. She'd never give up. That woman's a Schaefer, man. She lock her heels in. That's it, boy. There ain't no change in her. Y'all know it's the truth. Can I have an amen from the back row? But people just keep doing the same mistake over and over again, and like it's going to change, and it's not going to change. And I just am like, golly, how can you just keep doing that? Change something. So anyway, back to Abraham. He was fully convinced. So something happened one day. Because listen to me, faith is not hope. Faith is faith. You got to understand something. Inside of you is this ability to walk in faith. And how do you know you're in faith? Because you're fully convinced there's nothing going to change your mind. So like I said, Sunday, I don't want to hurt people's feelings. I don't want to make people feel uncomfortable or whatever. But the bottom line is if you're praying for something and it's not happening, it's not on God's end, it's on your end. And something's happening. Either you're really not in faith or something. There's no other explanation. Unless you want to draw back and get all religious and Levitical and say, well, you know, God is, sometimes he says yes and sometimes he says no, and you never know the will of God. You basically just have to go through life. And I just don't believe that's my God that I see in the Bible. I don't believe God could make an intricate world that's so amazing that we can't even understand it, and yet he couldn't make a way for us to live in victory. And it's called faith. And it's this place you come to in life that you believe that the promise is true so much that you're fully convinced. Okay, so let me ask you this. If you believe that God wants to bless you, okay, you believe God wants to bless you, but then what sets the terms and the limits of blessing? I mean, we serve a God who makes worlds. I didn't even read the article, I saw the headlines that something, I don't know if they did it with the Hubble telescope or one of the rockets or whatever, that they found a new galaxy that has 1,200 planets in it or something like that. And I'm like, what? God, see, this goes show you're bigger than they thought you were. You follow me? It's infinite. Every time they think that, oh, they're going to get to the end and run into the wall at the end of the universe, well, they just find out there's another whole world out there. Well, God, you're just bigger than, that's the way I see it. My God's just bigger than they could have imagined or they thought he was. But I'm saying, when we get to that place in our life that when we say, okay, God, we want to bless us, well, you know, it's the old story, you know, the old story about the guy traveling over from Europe on a boat and he takes his crackers and bought his ticket on the boat. Y'all heard that one? Jeannie looks like she didn't hear it, so I'll tell her. So he bought a ticket on the ocean liner, you know, and then he took his cheese and crackers and he ate cheese and crackers all the way over. And then the guy kept inviting him to come into the dining room and he'd look in there and there was all the nice clothes, people and all the fancy stuff and all the stuff. And that wasn't him. He just had enough money just for the ticket. And then when he got to finally landed in New York and it was there, and the guy said, sir, I just got to ask you, you know, you always sat out here on the deck, you always ate your cheese and crackers, you ate it every day, all the time, all the so trip. Why didn't you ever come to the dining room? He said, well, sir, I was embarrassed, but I didn't have any money for that. I only had enough money for the ticket. He says, well, your meals were included. You could have been dining in here, eating this scrumptious food all the time. It was in your ticket. But see, I think we think like that. We think, oh, if I've just got, I got cheese and crackers and I'm not starving. And sometimes we gaze over into the dining room of all the nice china and all the white tablecloths and all the things that could be with God. And we gaze over there into them, but we don't feel worthy to go in there. So we sit outside because we do have cheese and crackers. And what I'm saying is, to be fully convinced, it's like you went in and asked, where is my reserved table? That's a big difference. That's not arrogance. If it's in the price of your ticket and Jesus has already paid the price for it and the dining room is yours, then you should with boldness go into the throne. You say, well, you got to be reverent. Well, of course, God is God. My son, even though he argues with me sometimes, is when it boils down to it, he's reverent. He honors me as his father. Because I have a position in that family. I'm the head. I'm the father. He's the son. I know daddy's my father. I know who my heavenly father is. There's a position there. I honor him. But he made a place for me at the table. And being fully convinced that the promise means you can fully walk in there and sit down and not feel, well, I don't have as nice a clothes. I don't. And I think probably all of us in here, we've been in situations in our life where we've been somewhere that we felt uncomfortable. That the people that were else that was in there and there, you know, we got invited to something that was a little higher class than us country folks were used to. And we maybe felt a little uncomfortable. And that little uncomfortableness that you felt there is the same thing that's in the spirit. Because you're not fully convinced that God wants to bless you and he loves you and cares about you and just wants to lavish you and has an innumerable multitude of thoughts more than the sands of the sea about you, and they're all good, and he just wants to be there and love on you and bless you, and he wants you to be eating the best of everything and enjoying it. And we look at it because we look at ourselves based upon our performance. But according to the blood, it's through faith in what Jesus did for us. So if you're fully convinced that Jesus has done it for you by his blood, then it's all yours. Because then faith inside of you kicks in to action. Okay? Let's read on a little bit more here. 21, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. It was the fully convinced part that then got accounted to him for righteousness. Are y'all with me? It wasn't what he did, it was what he believed. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. Okay, so here's right here where I'd argue anybody. If everything that the Bible promises was only set about for the apostles to show signs and wonders and miracles in those days, then why did the apostle Paul write this and say, but also for us, when he's preaching to a bunch of Gentile Romans at their church? He's saying this is the way it works, and it's for every person who's a believer. But also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, and who was and delivered us up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, not the works, not the law, not the performance, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I really think sometimes we want to do performance because then we feel like we earned it. You know, if they set the bar and say, okay, look, high jump. I don't think I can high jump 6 foot. So, I mean, let's set the bar at 4. I think I can make 4. Because then I at least feel like I did something. So let's just make that, if you can get over 4 foot, you're in. You follow me? Then we do it. We got in and said, well, I made the mark. I'm in. They used to always do that at track meets. I don't know if you guys ever attempted this at track meets, but we all wanted to do a high jump, even myself, being as short as I am, because you didn't have to do any running. You only got to run from here to the back of a wall back there. I mean, you don't got to do much. And if you could do it, then I didn't have to go out and sweat and run around the track. So, I mean, it was like everything we could do to try to get good enough. And so we'd, you know, say, well, where are they starting at today, you know? Well, they're going to start at 5. And I said, man, I think I can just leap. I think I can just run and just dive over at 5. And we'd work, you know, we might could get the opening height. But, I mean, we weren't going anywhere from there. We had no technique. We had no anything. There's no way we were going to do it. We just wanted to get the opening height so I didn't have to run. All right? But we feel like we're doing something. And we've got to get out of that mentality. It's the thing that's already, says God has given everybody a measure of faith. It's already sitting within you, the great thing called faith that can explode and open up the whole world to you. Not what you do, what you believe. What we have to work on is not our ability to keep ourselves in check. Let me just tell you this, because my wife will find out when she's home anyway. You know, the worst thing to do when you're hungry, you never want to go to the grocery store, right? Well, the other day I was coming in, man, I didn't eat much lunch, and I was starving, and I was just about to go into, you know, some kind of shock or something, you know, it felt like. And I didn't want to go home, and because I knew there wasn't anything there that was fun to eat, because my wife won't buy anything fun, but my wife's not here. So I went to the store. I'm just starving, and I go in there, and of course, I go to the cookie aisle. And I just look, what is there? And I finally, I looked and said, Oreos. I haven't eaten Oreos in so long. So, you know, it wasn't enough. There was, my wife actually told me and tried to sow the subliminal thought in my mind before she left that they do have little small packages of just the little mini cookie things. Why do I want to mess with that, man? I bought the whole package. So I commenced to go home and try to refrain from eating the whole package. But I hadn't had an Oreo in years. And so, man, I dove into them. Man, I was sick as a dog by night. You know, I was like, oh, God, what have I done, what I did? But I did it. And I enjoyed every bite of it, right? I didn't enjoy the suffering at the end. But there was no holding me back. I was all in. No one could have talked me out of it. And I told her, I confessed to her that I fell in and did. But, you know, what I'm saying is, if I was in the world of counting calories and I missed the mark, I failed. But thank God, that's not my spirituality. I'm not performance. I'm not on a performance track in my spirituality. I'm on a faith track. Am I believing and trusting in God? Am I doing Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all of my heart and lean not to my own understanding? That's all that counts. That's all that really matters. Am I there? Am I judging other people by their performance or by their faith? Okay. Goes on, he says, therefore we all... Okay, hold on here. Therefore, whom also we have access by faith unto this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So, the faith then, when we exercise faith, it takes us into this area of grace where it's like, it's okay. You're here by faith. All right? Because it's the place of grace. Okay, now go to the book of Galatians. And let me show you here in Galatians chapter 4 something. Excuse me, 3. Galatians 3. Now, with all of that said, let me take you back to something I've had on the back burner for a long time. Let's start in verse 10. Let me show you this. For as many as are of the works, for as many, come on, Rob, read it. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Wow, I do not want to be under the curse. But if you're under the works of the law, it says you're going to be under the curse. For it is written, curses everyone who does not continue in all things is written in the book of the law to do them. Man, folks, listen to me. You do not want to operate under the law. Listen, whoever might listen to this can write me a letter, or y'all can write me a letter or whatever, but if a dietitian tells me that I shouldn't eat shellfish because they're not good for me, and they can show me why eating shellfish would affect me, then I have to take that into consideration. If somebody comes to me under the Old Testament, under the Old Law, and says, God said, don't eat shellfish, shellfish is wrong, you shouldn't eat shellfish, I'll eat them. Give me a bowl, I'll eat them right in front of them. I'll just be ornery and horsey. Because the point is, I'm not going to be bound under the curse. And if I'm trying to do part of the law, you have to do all the law. So I want God to open up my mind and tell me, look, don't eat them because they're full of mercury. Right? And then I'll say, yeah, okay, Lord, thank you for that word of wisdom. Oh, thank you. I'm not going to eat it. But don't tell me it's because it's under the law that I can't eat it. You following what I'm saying? Anytime anybody takes me to the law, man, you start to talk about fight. Man, I just get viciously mad because I'm not going to live under the law. It says, if you do, you're under the curse, because I know I can't keep all the law. So trying to keep part of it isn't going to make any difference. Now, if somebody says, look, this is why God said don't do that, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and lays out a scenario for me that makes sense and it's got health issues in it or whatever, well, then that's one thing. Y'all with me? But don't put the law on me, because I'm going to get mad. All right? Because I got enough problems in life without living under the curse, right? I don't want the curse to be waiting for me every day to beat me up. Okay. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which is written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. If the Apostle Paul is going to be writing to the church at Galatia and he's going to say no one is justified by the law in the sight of God, then folks, I don't want to mess with it. 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, here's my back burner question for the Lord for a long time. When you go back and you look, and for time's sake, I'm not going to, y'all can go back there and look at it. You go back there and you look at Deuteronomy 28, and you go look at the blessings of God that were under the law. That's not Abraham, that's Moses. You with me? Moses wrote the law. God gave him the law, and that was the blessings that were under the law. They're great if you could have kept the law. Correct? But it says the blessings of Abraham. Doesn't say the blessings of the law, doesn't say the blessings of Moses, it says the blessings of Abraham. So over the years, I've searched and I've looked and I've tried to find a list of the blessings of Abraham. And I can't find it. There's not any. You can go to Genesis 12 and God just said, look, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. I'll bless you. And then anybody that curses you, I'll curse them. I mean, that was the basic blessing of Abraham. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, is that what you're talking about here? That because I've been redeemed from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham is going to come upon me? So then the blessing of Abraham is that you bless me, right? And that's it. It's just broad spectrum. That's no spelled out definition. And so I was reading this, and the Holy Ghost said, are you ready now? You're to the place you understand here. Look, let me show you something. The blessing of Abraham was that he was made right standing with God because he operated in faith. Because then if you operate in faith, everything is yours. So the true blessing of Abraham that came upon Abraham was that Abraham finally learned to operate in faith. Now think about this. Abraham was before Moses, right? Right? I mean, y'all looking at me like I'm wrong. Y'all making me think, am I wrong? No. Right? Abraham was before. So then God was trying to institute faith before he was ever trying to institute the law. Right? He was trying to give all of Israel all the blessings and everything heaven had to them and just get them to understand, to walk in faith that everything they needed, everything that they had that would come upon them in life, he would provide it. He would bless them because he said, I'm blessing Abraham. By faith, they stood in a right place so they could just go walk up and talk to God and he would do it. No sacrificial lamb, no law, no tabernacle, no ark. No table of showbread, no lamp, no nothing, no anything. None of that stuff was ever intended. He wanted everybody to live by faith. All the way back to like the garden of Adam and Eve, where they were just in the garden, doing whatever they were doing. God would come down in the evening, cool of the evening, just walk with them and talk with them, and everything was great. That's where he was trying to get the people to. But because of the people's attitude, because of human beings, became so warped that God said, look, I've got to show these people that they don't know what they're talking about. Here's a law. Okay, you want to be perfect? Here. You're going to have to do this. And they were stupid enough to say, okay, we could do it. I think we can do it. So we gave them over 3,000 ordinances and covenants and told them to do it. And they said, oh, I think we can do it. That's how far away they came from faith. And I believe right now what God is saying to us, especially the body here, is we've got to get back to that place of Abraham, that the blessings of Abraham, we walk in them. Now look what it says, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Okay, now then this is a comma. Okay, the blessings of Abraham coming upon them, that's one thing, comma, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So then the Holy Ghost coming Y'all follow me? In other words, Abraham starts operating in faith. All that's his, the Holy Ghost comes in to help you along to understand how to walk and operate in faith. And we've gotten it and just taken it and twisted it and turned it all up and made it so difficult that we can't even do it ourselves. Right? Because down on the inside of us is that stupid little voice in the back of us saying, well, if we could earn it, God would be pleased with us. And God's screaming from heaven right now, I want you to believe in Jesus, that his blood and the sacrifice of my son covered it all. And we've got to get out of that mentality. It's like I said Sunday, that we pray and then open up our eyes to see it happen. And it doesn't. And immediately the voice in the back of our mind takes over. And we fall and give up. And say, what's wrong, God? And start blaming him or whatever we do, whatever our cup of tea is we fall into. And start messing up. Because we have to have patience and endurance. What an amazing thing to go to God and pray and then to be able to rest in faith and know that what you just prayed is going to happen. What a novel idea. To pray, talk to our Father, explain the situation, listen for his advice, listen for his direction, and then to rest in peace till it happens. To wake up in the morning and say, man, I'm so glad. I know God's going to take care of it. Last night at 4:30 when the storm came through, I was sound asleep, and I was sound asleep. But I was having a bad night. It was one of those nights, I don't know what I'd done. I wasn't the Oreos, man. I left them alone. There was not an Oreo night. But it was a hamburger and french fries that I got into, I think. But anyway, and so I couldn't go to sleep, and I was a little restless, and I was just praying. You know how it is when you just lay your head on your pillow like a little kid and act, you know, close your eyes. You can still hear your mother saying, close your eyes. And you just close your eyes and you're trying to rest, but you're just praying in tongues in your head because you don't know anything else to do, and you're just saying, oh, body, shut up, I wish you'd go to sleep. And so I'd just gone to sleep, and then the storm comes through, and so I was in deep sleep, and, you know, I started hearing hail hit the house, and I just rose up out of bed. Like, I was so sleepy, I just rose up out of bed and said, in the name of Jesus, no hell is going to, you know, hurt my house. And I just started this prayer, and just rolled back over and went to sleep. And it just came, I mean, I like this rose from the dead, because I was dead asleep. Rose from the dead, rebuked the storm, went back to sleep. Got up this morning and started drinking coffee. And then the thought came to me, oh, yeah, it hailed last night, or it was a storm out there last night. And so I said, I guess I better go out there and see if there's any damage. And the Holy Ghost quickened me and said, I thought you prayed. And I said, you know, I did. I'm just going to go back and read my Bible. I didn't even go out and look. He's like, why would I want to go look? You know, he arrested me, because that's what we do. But he arrested my faith. And I was like, that's nothing. Why go look? That's where we got to get to, folks. That's where we got to get to, that confidence. And I went outside, there's leaves all over the ground and, you know, stuff, but wasn't nothing other than knocked a few leaves up, thinned some oak trees down. You with me? So I just encourage you, keep dwelling on this, because I just know the Holy Ghost wants to just open up more and more and more veins of revelation to us and give you that confidence and give you that assurance and get your faith going Amen? But you're going to have to dwell on it. You're going to have to work at it. But it's there. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Will Bill help me? Now, did y'all get these little, did you get these little deals out for Dixie on the things to pray about for our Vacation Bible School coming up here shortly? What's our date? 27. Okay. Monday through Friday, which is what you're thinking, instead of Monday through Thursday. Well, I know it's important. So anyway, put your hand on your offering. Father, I just declare tonight, Lord, I declare this word that we've that you've given tonight. I declare, Lord, that as we, Lord, as we just dwell on you and dwell in everything you've done for us, Lord, that you just continue to open up doors, continue to open up revelation. We continue to walk more because, Lord, I believe that you want all of us to sit at that dining table and not feel ashamed, not feel like we don't belong there, but by the blood of Jesus, know that you called us to be there and sit at the table with our heads held high. Because I know you want to bless us. You want to bless us exceedingly, abundantly, beyond we can even think or ask. So, Lord, I praise you for it. And I thank you tonight for blessing the finances, blessing this offering, and just pouring into each and every one of our lives, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise God, stand up. Let me bless you.